So that's reframing things. And just like we reframe narratives with patients and for communication's sake, we're reframing this for coaches, because that's really who we want to reach with this exact paper.
Loved recording this episode with Teddy Willsley, no stranger to the program. I had Teddy on a year ago. Find him on Instagram at strengthcoachtherapy. He's also in a little side project where he and a group of PTs take leading research and break it down for you in a couple different formats. So we're going to talk to Teddy about this project, Physio Network, and then we're going to break down an article on ACL rehabilitation, prehabilitation avoidance in what we hope to be the first of many research articles featuring Teddy and some other members of Physio Network. First round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction, rehabilitation training, and the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com and their brand new podcast, Owens Recovery Science Podcast, on iTunes and wherever podcasts are heard.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Ladies and gents, welcome to PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. My name is Jimmy McKay. I'm a physical therapist who used to be a radio DJ, and now apparently I'm a TV host on the internet. Teddy Willsley. Teddy's a sports medicine-focused PT and private practice owner in Rockville, Maryland. No stranger to this show. He has an interest in working with high-level athletes and return to sport rehab. In addition to practicing PT, he also speaks and teaches publicly, writes and blogs regularly, and posts on social media daily. He's busy. He can be found on Instagram at strengthcoachtherapy or online at teddywillsley.com. Teddy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
Last time we did this, we were in person. We were at the first live show that I ever actually did at a university. We were doing the Marymount live show.
That was the first?
That was the first one. That's where I graduated from. So I was like, let's start with a home field advantage. Let's do it in front of the home crowd. It doesn't hurt when the place you went to PT school says, you know what? Why don't we do an open bar? And we'll get people to come out there. So that wasn't a hard sell. But yeah, that was the first ever live show that we did.
I was part of the history of PT Pintcast.
Yeah, I think we've done like 15, 16 of those. We just did Ohio State last week. We got like 200 people in the audience, kind of a big deal. And full circle, we're coming back to Marymount in just a couple of weeks. September 23rd is the Saturday. Going to be at Marymount University if you want to come out to that. The show is open to the public. We're going to have Adam Meekins and Eric Mera. So Adam Meekins of the the NAF Physio podcast. Just had him on a Facebook Live not long ago. Interesting stuff. And Eric Mera of PT Inquest. Those guys are teaching a course, and I think there's like one or two spots still available. Teaching a shoulder course. That's what Adam covers.
I'll be there.
And you're going, and still some spots available for that. But then we're also doing the live podcast at night, and then shockingly, we're going to do a live happy hour too. Can't keep me out of the bars, Teddy. So. That's what we're going on there. One other thing I want to mention right now, I'll put the link to get one in the comment section below. We are selling some pint glasses. Had a lot of people ask us for pint glasses. They're really popular when we give them away at conferences. This one we are selling, but the money doesn't go to me. I'm not lining my pockets. This one's for a cancer charity for the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. That is who we're trying to hook up. And Teddy's moving now. There, you got the glass. Good. There you go. That's the glass. This one a little different. We're updating... We're updating the glass this time.
You're Vanna White, and I was going to...
Thank you. Good. So, yeah, we're going to have the Pintcast logo on one side. The other side will say, I drink and I know things. And if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you understand why that's a great line. Great line from my favorite character, played by Peter Dinklage. So, PT Pintcast logo one side, I drink and I know things on the other. And the money goes to the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. I'm on their triathlon team doing the Ironman next weekend in Lake Placid doing the 70.3. So I'll put the link in the comments below if you want to grab those glasses. We'll send them out as soon as you guys place your orders. Why do we have you on the show? Besides blogging, social media, teaching, being a practicing PT, a private practice owner, you also have a deep love for physical therapy research, so much so that you joined up with an organization to actually make it really digestible. And I use that word on purpose for the masses. Believe me, I love me some research, but understanding it all and finding quality research, and again, making it applicable, Monday morning applicable, as we say, not always the easiest. So talk about Physio Network and what they do, what their mission is, and why you joined them.
Physio Network, we just came out with our 10th issue. And so we're still really getting started. And our goal, like you said, is just to make research digestible. So we have two different products. We have the audio version, which just came out 2 months ago. And then we also have the written version. And we do 12 articles per month. So we have a group of different authors. We have 4 or 5 mainstays and then a few people that cycle through. There's a lot of guys and gals that you would recognize their names from the social medias, from the interwebs, et cetera. A lot of smart people on there. So when they asked me to come on, I was flattered. And I said, yeah, let's do it. For me, it makes me read at least one article a month, and then I get the other ones. And so it's great.
That's cool. All right. So what can someone expect when they check out Physio Network? We put the website there on the screen, physio-network.com. You're cherry picking great articles. You're breaking them down for people. That's why I said digestible. You're doing the chewing, Teddy. And we're like the baby, the baby bird. You're the mama bird. You're breaking it down for us and giving us the cherry picked versions of it. Right.
I'm trying to. And recently I've been writing the reviews longer and longer, and I had to go back to the early ones I wrote and remind myself, keep this succinct. But that's the goal, just to keep it succinct. You know, and so we want each of the sections to be 100 to 200 words or so. We want the clinical implications to be the longest section, which sometimes in research is the shortest section. And we just want to quickly allow that clinician that takes the 5 to 10 minutes to read the review to go and apply whatever they learned from it.
That's the idea, right? People do this research. People who are doing research want it to be applicable. They want it to be applied. I think we read a statistic somewhere from, I got it from Becky Craik, a professor at our Arcata University, 17 years from publish to actually getting into mainstream practice. And we can't have that. Not in 2018 going into 2019. We got to get faster with that. And that's where something like Physio Network can come into play, which is like, we're going to give you 12. We're going to break them down for you. And we'll let you know what you need to take out and actually put into practice.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're gonna break down an article, right?
Yeah,
what article are we looking at right now? We want to give you a dose of the Physio Network.
Well, so we can start with the title, and I might have to already kind of explain that. You know, I just like to be verbose. So this is evidence-based best practice guidelines for preventing anterior cruciate ligament injuries in young female athletes. And I was joking around. I don't have to explain that. That's pretty straightforward. But what the paper looks at is it's a systematic review and a meta-analysis. And so what that means is that they're looking at a lot of articles and right. they're the best ones. So they ended up including 18 studies. And I believe they're from 2003 or so up to about 2015. And what they're looking at is ACL prevention. And we understand that there is some efficacy for ACL prevention, but we don't have an exact intervention protocol. And that's the biggest issue with a lot of physical therapy and why so much of therapy is not supported by research, because we know that exercise works. We know all this stuff makes people feel better, but we don't know the exact dosing. And so then it's like the wild, wild west. Practitioner, every CI, everybody tells you different stuff.
Google ACL rehab protocol and tell me how many hits and how many different versions of different things that you get. There's a lot.
Right. Exactly. There's so much subjectivity in how we move from one phase to the other. And so this is purely based on prevention. And there's a tricky part with this too, because prevention isn't a physical therapist's job necessarily. However, we can have an influence on the sport coaches, on the strength and conditioning coaches. And that's really what I do for a living. And that's why I chose this article, because I thought it was really interesting because I work with.
So the guys who break down the articles for the network, you guys are doing the picking as well. That's kind of cool.
Exactly.
That's cool. All right. So who did this one? Let's give some credit to the authors.
Eric Petushik and Dai Sugimoto were the primary authors for this paper.
Okay.
And there were a few different people on there. Michael Stuhlmiller as well.
Now, where do you typically start when you look at an article? I go right to the conclusion and an abstract. I'm a conclusion abstract guy, which is not good. Kids, don't do that. but where does your head go? And then let's start there and break this thing down for everybody taking a look and taking a listen.
Well, so I'm still going to start with the abstract just because I want to know what they're going to tell me. And that kind of helps set me up for it. From there, I'll read the introduction. And, you know, I'm always going to have a pen and a highlighter out. I like to print out my articles and I'm really appraising.
And old school.
Exactly, man. And so, you know, I'll sit there with the introduction, and the introduction is usually it's something along the lines of the anterior cruciate ligament is the most commonly and severe season ending. And we kind of know that stuff. So if there's anything kind of novel or anything that pops out to me, like an interesting statistic that I might want to tell a patient later, I'll highlight that or underline that. And I'll usually try to include that in my background, try to introduce something new. So for example, this one, it was estimated that one ACL injury cost $38,000 in the US. Wow. And that was just the cost from the surgery to the rehab and the missed time too. So they're factoring in for professional teams. You pay an athlete X amount of money and then you lose them. I thought that was a pretty big
38 grand. That's a lot.
Yeah. And they talked about the ACL's economic burden on society and make it seem like it's really a problem that we need to. Exactly.
Yeah. So everything's an epidemic. I'm not saying ACL. I mean, I don't want anybody tearing their ACL. So let's focus on that. So where do you go? Where do we go from there in this article?
So that's where I start with the intro. And then I've already seen the results or kind of what they're going to tell me through the abstract. From there, I want to understand what kind of study this actually is. And I already have an idea from the intro, but I want to look at the methods. So this is a systematic review. So they're looking at a lot of other papers. They're not actually doing an intervention themselves. So with that, I'm going to look at how many papers did they select? What years are they from? We want to make sure this doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it's a few really old papers. If you want to really dig into a systematic review, you should look at their references. If there is an intervention or if it's not a systematic review, if it's a randomized control trial, well, first of all, I hope that the trial is randomized. So there's things I'm looking at with the groups that they select for the controlled trials. Is there a control? For example, with manual therapy, sometimes they'll do these studies where one group didn't do any of the stuff and the other group did everything. So you want to make sure that there's equity there. That the control group and the variable group, literally there was one thing different, the point that we're studying. So there's also sneaky things where they'll have people kind of drop off and they won't include them in the stats. So what we're looking at here, this is a systematic review. They're looking at these different studies of ACL prevention. And the main finding was that the best ACL prevention protocol takes place during the season as well as preseason. And that was what I really kind of pointed out in this article and I found interesting because that represents a significant challenge for a coach or a physical therapist or anybody to get that precious time with the athletes during the season. This ACL prevention protocol, they worked out an average of 24 minutes, 2.5 times a week for 23 weeks.
Specifically on this protocol.
So that's what they found to be the mean cumulative training volume that was ideal. It took place over 57 sessions. So one extremely important finding in this paper was that it was not effective when they stopped during the season.
All right. So wait, do that for me again.
This NMT protocol, neuromuscular training protocol, was not effective when it was stopped at the start of the season. And so these athletes during the season, let's take a lacrosse player, a basketball player. They took 20 minutes twice a week in their practice to stop their basketball practice and do these goofy little landing and jumping drills. And that's really hard for a strength and conditioning coach, a medical professional to convince the sport coach, hey, we need to do that. So this article was interesting because it really brings into question some of the things that I hear a lot of strength and conditioning coaches and a lot of physical therapists that work with teams struggle with, which is the kind of who gets the athlete's time.
That's got to be difficult. How do you have that conversation? Because you work with athletes all the time, pretty often. How do you start that conversation?
At Healthy Baller, we actually started an ACL prevention program, and what we're doing is marketing it and talking to. It's not a big money, it's not a pocket filler, as you said. It's just something we're marketing it for our time, and we're trying to work with sport coaches and say, hey, let us teach you this protocol. Let us teach you how to go through these landing and jumping drills. And just work them into your athletes' warmups. At least get 15 minutes twice a week.
Yeah,
it's not that big of a deal, and it will help.
With most of the teams that I ever played on, I could see if you handing a coach a warmup and saying there's some research behind it, that they would adopt that. That'd probably be easier than getting into their practice, right?
Right. And so that's reframing things. And just like we reframe narratives with patients and for communication's sake, we're reframing this for coaches because that's really who we want to reach with this exact paper.
Where it'll be most effective. Okay. Where'd the paper go to next?
So one of the things we're looking at is just the heavy or the strong statistics behind it, and so they reduced the injury incidence from 1 in 54 to 1 in 111. So they have the injury incidence, which is great. Another interesting thing was, so with these reviews, we're looking at all these different studies and we're saying, oh, it was more effective with this age group. This intervention was more effective for these people, et cetera. The age group that was most affected by this were middle and high school age athletes. Those are the athletes and those are the patients that we see that they kind of move goofy. They have long limbs. You know, they're the ones that need this the most. With college and professional athletes, they're further along in their developmental stages and they don't need as much of the balance and the control work. And they're a little more of a finished product.
I mean, you've probably also weeded out people who would be, you know, defined as non-athletic or more apt to injure themselves anyway as well.
That's a great point. Yeah. And that's something that I should have discussed in here. Maybe you have a future as a research.
You know, I'm just throwing things out there. I'm just trying to picture that. I'm able to see that because that's me. You know, I'm not a professional athlete for several reasons. And being goofy and kind of walking around funny. That's one of them.
Yeah. So there's a certain survival of the fittest going on here.
Right.
And the athletes that made it to professional college level, you know, they're probably less likely to injure themselves anyways, or their injuries are more likely to be a high energy type of injury, you know, a really strong cut and plant that just isn't going to happen at the younger age group. The younger age group, a lot of times they injure themselves in these kind of lower energy non-contact. Like I've heard kids say, I was just running a route and I, you know, that sort of thing.
All right. Where do we go next with this paper?
So what we do is we try to figure out how we can implement this, you know, and that's the communication piece. That's the most challenging piece as a clinician. So let's say you are a private practicing physical therapist and you work with high school athletes. You don't have to be in my setting where you work alongside strength and conditioning coaches, but you say to yourself, okay, you know, I want you to introduce me to your coach maybe, and let me try to help make a change, make an effect on these groups that you're working with. And that's really like the physical therapist's job to get out into the community. And I think this is the type of paper that can help us do that. If we talk about being that well-rounded practitioner, that primary care that people come to, then we need to kind of give back to the community a little bit too. I know it sounds cliche, but
no. And I think I learned that in PT school where I thought, you know, that patient education or public education was just kind of a throwaway. And then once you start your clinicals, you know, full time, you realize that's a big part of your job. That is not a throwaway at all. So we'll let the listeners and viewers online know that you can check out the link to this paper that Teddy's referring to. We'll put it in the comments as soon as this broadcast is over.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Hey guys, Maestro here, and I want to personally invite you to Rockstock 2018, the movement experience of the year. Join us in sunny Miami Beach, Florida on October 27th and 28th for movement, laughter, dancing, music, fun, and yes, you will get CEUs. The lineup is absolute fire, including yours truly and your girl, Dr. Court Conley. So head on over to rocktape.com, use the code PTPintcasters18 to save yourself some money. I'll see you there.
Can't say thanks enough to our sponsors at Aureus Medical Group. They are the leaders in travel physical therapy staffing. Quite simply, they find physical therapists' jobs. Yes, that's what they do. I can't break it down any more than that. That's it. Do what you want to do, where you want to do it. I'm talking about placements in all 50 states. They've got you covered. The cold, the warm, the mountains, the beach, the rivers, the lakes, all 50 states. Yes, Alaska. Yes, Hawaii. Short-term placements, 13 weeks, or could that lead to a long-term placement? Whatever works for you. Just take a look. Get on a phone call with one of their recruiters. These guys know the ins and outs of travel physical therapy. What about continuing education credits? Licensing in different states. There's a jurisprudence exam. What does that mean? How do you get from one placement to the next? Should I look into travel PT as a new grad, or is that too soon? They've got you covered. Yeah, Aureus is the expert in travel physical therapy. Take a look on the website and then talk to one of their experts. AureusMedical.com. That's Aureus Medical Group. AureusMedical.com.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Teddy, a part of the Physio Network, putting up the website, physio-network.com. 12 papers broken down by some industry experts. We're going over one that Teddy picked out recently about ACL injury prevention, randomized control trial in female athletes. Where do we go next with this paper, Teddy?
What we do next is we look at the exact exercises that they use and how we can do that on our own. So the things that they're looking at is hip internal rotation and adduction during landing. So what that means is your body basically falling into midline. when you should be controlled over your leg. What we're doing from a neuromuscular training standpoint is watching our athletes do single leg jumps, single leg landing, single leg hops, and just trying to help them with what's termed proper form. Now, proper form is kind of a drawback of the paper because
subjective.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I did write about that in the limitations. Some of the other exercises that they found to be very important were Nordic hamstring curls or hamstring curls in general. I don't think a lot of people are strong enough to do Nordics very well. And so I would probably start my younger, especially if we're looking at the more at needs group for this, the middle and high school age kids, I'd probably start them with just bridges or that sort of thing.
I was going to ask that since you're working with athletes a lot, you know, what do you start people with? I mean, you hear Nordics, especially at the high professional college, semi-professional level, that seems to be the go-to eccentric, exercise to strengthen the hamstrings. Is that what you do? Bridges for some younger and maybe some weaker athletes?
Bridges and hamstring curls are two really big things that we do.
Okay.
If you want to put together a prevention program, and this is very similar to the rehab for it too, but you're going to put together a knee flexion or hip extension dominant movement like the Nordic hamstring curl. So that's going to work your hamstrings, your glutes, that sort of thing. You're going to put together a knee extensor dominant movement that's eccentric. And so that means a decelerative quad movement, you know, so landing from jumping, forward lunges. You're also going to want to put together a movement quality, and that's where the subjectivity comes in, but a program that can increase in difficulty over time. You know, we don't want to throw people into something they're not ready for yet. And they also talked about calf strengthening too. And the calves play a vital role in our landing mechanics, and they're kind of a forgotten about muscle sometimes.
Two joint muscle, man. You know, you got the gastroc, two joint muscle.
Exactly. That's really what it pointed out. It pointed out it showed a really kind of straightforward program. It's not rocket science. It's pretty much what we do in PT for rehab.
Look, and most of the people you listen to are the people that, you know, rise to the top, you know, and again, just because you're on social media and scream a lot doesn't mean that you are a leader, but the people that stick around for long say just that, which is the human body hasn't changed evolutionarily, not in my lifetime. So the simple stuff that often gets overlooked for the sexy stuff, but it's good to see that that's what the actual data is saying as well.
Yeah, when we talk about sexy stuff, that's like speed ladders or foot ladders and all these different agility and cutting drills.
It looks cool.
Right. I say let all of that work happen in practice when people are actually in a live environment and making dynamic split-second decisions with their movements. Let that happen in practice and then do this type of work instead of replace some of those cone drills with this. If you need a place to kind of insert it into practice.
Did it say when doing this sort of protocol, when doing these exercises in particular in a practice at the beginning during warm-up, you know, in the middle, at the end? No? Okay.
No, they didn't talk about that.
Physio-network.com. Look at that. We're so fancy now, Teddy. We've come a long way from just a podcast. You can check it out. Who else is on the roster? Who else are some of the people in the Physio Network breaking down these articles for people?
Tom Goom, Ben Cormack, Tim Rowland is one of the guys that kind of started the whole thing. I saw Jared Hall and Sam Spinelli's names pop up on there recently. There's a large cast of people I'm going to miss. You know, there's
a bunch.
Todd Hargrove, Sandy Hilton, Mick Hughes, who does a lot of ACL content online. He's a good guy to follow. One thing I forgot to mention, and Mick Hughes actually posted this from this article, but the article at the very end, they have a checklist, and it's a checklist. It's a nice, like, actual thing from a research article that you can take, and it asks you, are you doing this exercise? Are you doing this? And you just put a one or a zero next to each one for yes or no, and then it gives you your final score of your ACL prevention score. It's a nice little summary at the very end of the article.
I like in the list that you were just mentioning, a lot of the other people on the Physio Network, pretty varied too. You got people from varied, varied backgrounds.
Yeah.
Covering those articles. Those are cool too.
That was the goal. And so they cover a lot of different articles. It's certainly not just for the strength and conditioning side of things. We're talking frozen shoulders, biopsychosocial, all that sort of thing.
Can't have you on the show without talking a little Instagram, my man, at Strength Coach Therapy. How many followers, like ballpark it for me? Do you even like watch that anymore with how many followers you've got or what?
Yeah, you watch it. It's 415.
Wow, 415,000. Not 450. I think I've got 415. I don't know if I've got 415,000. Oh, what can people expect and get out of your Instagram page?
They can expect, similar to Physio Network, actionable information. I'm speaking to the clinician. I certainly am. but I want everybody to take something from this page. So it's not just about how to talk to your patients and biopsychosocial and all that. That's very important to me. I write about that sort of stuff and I talk to friends and other colleagues. But for my page, I'm teaching exercise, movement progressions. You know, I'll put 5 different Pavlov press variations and talk about why I would move from one to the other, that sort of thing. And a little bit of lifting sprinkled in there too.
It's good stuff. At Strength Coach Therapy, if you're somehow one of the people not following Teddy right now, you know you've achieved really cool status, in my book anyway, when I start finding random Instagram pages and they're reposting your stuff. I'm like, I know that guy. You reposted Teddy's stuff. That's cool.
Well, thanks, Jimmy.
3 questions. Are you ready?
On the hot seat with 3 questions on the PT Pinecast.
Brought to you by our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. They find PTs jobs anywhere in the 50 U.S. states. AureusMedical.com. You're in Rockville, Maryland.
Yes, sir.
But if you could go anywhere in the U.S. and be a PT for a short term, maybe 13 weeks or long term assignment, your call. Where would you want to go? Where have you always said, yeah, I want to be a PT there?
I'm going to Colorado, 100%. It's an outdoor lifestyle, man. I was out there skiing 3 times last year. I dislocated my shoulder skiing and just had surgery. I've been documenting that on my Instagram. So I love getting outdoors.
Love that. All right. Second question. What's something you read that really recently inspired you? You read a lot of research, but it doesn't have to be. I don't want to limit you. What's something you read that really inspired you or really, really made you think?
Minimalism is my thing. And that's what I'm really trying to get to. And so it's a book on minimalism and I'll write the name of the, and the author in the comments,
sure.
But it's all about doing things right when you find out about them. So if you see an email, don't file it away later and then think about it for 20 minutes. You know, just respond right then. If you're not going to get to it, then don't open it. And it's just about how to kind of organize your life. And it was, Jimmy, you and I talked offline earlier about bandwidth, and that's what it's all about for me. Yeah. And so just learning how to file it and organize your life and be productive. Yeah.
Bandwidth is a great term. I learned that from a guy I work with at Fox Rehabilitation. He's like, you can do all these things. You can do them. You have the ability to do them. But you don't have the bandwidth. Like you only have 100% of yourself. I call it, are you familiar with the Super Nintendo game NHL 95? That was really, for me, the first game where you could create your own character. I created Jimmy McKay. You were given a certain number of points. So you can make yourself super fast, but then you couldn't be as strong. Or you could be super strong, but then you didn't have a hard slap shot. So my point was, you can't spread yourself so thin that you're weak in other areas. So you only have so much bandwidth.
Yeah.
Use it accordingly.
Exactly.
All right. Third question is, who is someone that the audience should know more about? It's your chance to give somebody a shout out.
Sam Spinelli.
Okay. Who's Sam?
So Sam is a physical therapist in California. His Instagram is The Strength Therapist. And Sam coincidentally is a business partner of mine in a exercise program that we're launching called Citizen Athletics.
When's that come out?
We actually start on Monday, on September 3rd.
Look at that. Timing is everything. Yeah.
So just a little plug there. But Sam is an incredibly smart, well-read guy. He's already taught courses. He taught a course with Dean Somerset. He's Canadian. He's just the friendliest dude you've ever met. He also can snatch like over his body weight and front squat weights that scare me. You know, he's just kind of a well-rounded. He likes to get beers with Derek Miles and all these other kind of guys that we come to know. And so I've gotten to know Sam really well recently, and he's a good guy to follow, and he puts out a lot of solid content.
Well, we'll share the link to that platform, which drops Monday in the comments as soon as this is done as well. All right, that's 3 questions. You're off the hot seat. That's from Aureus Medical Staffing. Teddy would go to Colorado, but they've got positions all over the 50 U.S. states. A lot of people always ask, is it really Alaska? Do you really have stuff in Hawaii? Actually, yes. I see them posting about that all the time, about those locations. And people love to go to the exotic locations in the 50 U.S. states. Look, do what you want, where you want to do it. Be a physical therapist. And, I mean, we've had James Spencer on this show. He had it locked down. He would do winters in Colorado, and he'd do summers on Cape Cod. Winter in Colorado, summer out in Hawaii. He pulled that off for the longest time. So you can do that. That's completely possible. And again, AureusMedical.com. Last thing we do on the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The thing I always like to talk about, if you are going to be a sports or a strength and conditioning oriented physical therapist, you need to learn from that profession. And so you need to get in with the sport coaches, get in with the strength coaches, learn how to train your athletes first, and then you're going to be a rehab professional. So that's to all the young PTs out there that really want to get into sports. You got to learn both sides of it.
It's a good point. How are you going to criticize, or how are you going to, you know, instruct someone unless you have walked a literal mile in their practice or a mile in their shoes?
Absolutely.
The website again is physiohyphennetwork.com. More research coming from not just Teddy, but a slew of other cast of characters who know what they're doing.
A lot of people smarter than me.
Yeah. At Strength Coach Therapy on Instagram is where you can find Teddy and all of his information. Teddy, appreciate that. We'll have you back on the show on a regular basis. We got research. We got to get it out there.
Awesome, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.